Ephesians chapter 4. And we were looking at a few things last week in Ephesians, only because it was that book is important because it not only equips the believer in what God has done spiritually, it takes them to what God has for them and reminds them of what they were and the opportunity they have to, through the information that Paul gives them about God's eternal purpose, and it enables them to be on the same page with God, to be able to do what God's doing. There's a lot of saints today, they don't know what God is doing. They think, you know, I was looking at the show the other day, and she says, and this lady was rapping. She was rapping. She says, "Now I know that this is what God wants me to do, is to be a rapper." Okay. Listen, that's one story. Most saints, they're not on God's agenda. They're on their agenda. And that's why Paul, look at Ephesians chapter 3. He says, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for who?" There's not a whole lot of saints that know that. "If you have heard of what? Which is given me to what?" How many heard of that?
Very few.
Okay. "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." Now, verse 9, he says, "And to make all men see what is what?
The fellowship of the mystery.
Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by you." By
the church.
By you.
We are the church. Yeah. We are the body.
"That they might know how smart God is by you."
Manifold wisdom.
Is that being shown today?
Nope.
It ain't Paul's fault. He said, "I made it known. Matter of fact, I wrote it." That's why when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And when you read, you will understand the mystery of Christ.
Well, we've got a problem because we're fighting against a different manifold wisdom in that we've got 400 different translations of the Bible that say those verses different. So there's a satanic manifold wisdom working against it with everybody that wants to say it doesn't mean that.
Yeah. That's true. That's why it's important when you approach the Word of God is you have, and going forward, that was the first thing I thought, is you have to identify that and have faith in that. And it's a good point, Mike. But he says, "For this call," verse 14, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit," where?
In
the inner man. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height," semicolon, "and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, if you go back through that passage, you're going to see all those educational terms. If it, nothing else, it tells you one thing. If nothing else, those educational words, when I say educational words, is faith, comprehension, knowledge, that God does not want you ignorant. He does not want us ignorant. And he says the inner man is how you understand these things. And the inner man is strengthened by faith. When Mike said, it's what God has said. He says, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What do you think that power is?
Holy Spirit or God.
That's and
doctrine.
This, look, you can't separate the two of them. When you know when Jesus left earth, he said this. He said, I gotta go. I have to go. He didn't say it like that. He said, I must needs go. If I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come. But when he does come, he will not speak of himself. He'll speak of me. And he will take the things of mine and what? Show them unto you. His job is, the Holy Spirit's job is to lift up Christ to preeminence in you. Top priority. To give you an understanding of what God is doing. That's why he said in Romans, you don't know what to pray for as you ought, but the Spirit that maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. Until your information level gets up to where God wants it, the Holy Spirit is saying, I know she says she a rapper, but she don't want to be a rapper.
She thinks
that's what I'm calling. I'm not. The hope of her calling is not you going to be in heaven rapping.
One of my pet peeves, and I hear this so many preachers, is the Lord led me to study prophecy. I hear that from so many preachers, and I just, you know, when I hear that, it's like fingernails on a blackboard.
I don't know. The Lord leads me to read his word, whether it's prophecy, whatever, or Paul, because I know I can never get enough of what he has to say, not what I have to say. So chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he says, I, Paul, I beseech you to do what? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Vocation. Now, we talked about this. Occupation is not vocation. Occupation is something you study for. Something you change occupations. You know, I used to do this. I did this for 20 years. Now I'm doing this. Or I did this for 30 years and now I'm retired. I don't do that anymore. I'm a retired whatever. The vocation is something that you're naturally equipped for. Show you what I mean.
Isn't more true identity?
It is true identity.
Yeah.
When it says, if any man be in Christ, he's what?
Yeah.
Old things are passed away. All things have become new. He just before that, he says, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we no man. Listen. Yeah, I went over to Jesus' house and they made me a chair. That's after the flesh. He's not a chair maker. That might have been his occupation. But not his vocation. When he said my father's business, he didn't mean chair making. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when he says to you to walk worthy of your vocation, it's not graphic arts. It's not industrial distribution. It's not communications, secular communication. It's declaring the revelation of the mystery. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he gives the seven things your job description. One body, what? One spirit, one body, one spirit, one hope. One hope of your calling. Listen, we don't all have different callings. You know, the Lord called me to do this. He called Blake to do this. He called you to do this. We have what?
One calling.
One calling. And until you realize that, then it's your agenda, not his. And he's like, I'm begging you that you walk worthy. How do you walk unworthy of something you naturally called to do? Let me rephrase that. By not doing it. That's right. How do you walk unworthy of something that you are naturally called to do?
By not doing.
Neglect. What? Look, Paul says, look, if I don't do this thing, woe is me. He said, if I do it willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He said, listen, either ain't no two ways about it, I still got to do this. That's my job. But verse 7, but unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he's getting ready to introduce to you something that the Lord did. And he's saying, first of all, I want you to walk worthy of your vocation. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. That's when you go out there, when you talk to these people. Believing and unbelieving. That's how you have to approach it. With long suffering, meekness. Trying to get them on the same page. To the unity. Listen, you're the only one doing this. That's not my fault. That you don't know what to do. It's your fault. I'm here to help you find out what you're supposed to do. We had a guy, we took over a company. He worked for us. He still works for us. 30 something years. He worked for us. For this company. We bought that company. And when we bought that company 7 years ago, everybody knew what the requirement is. So they do cross training. And when we got him to our location and said, well, you need to do this. And he never did it. And he finally said, well, why are you not doing this? He said, I don't know how. And they says, wait a minute. How long have you been here? 30 years. Something he should have known in the 30 years. And the 7 years he was with us, they trained him. And he still did not do it. So they said, listen, there's no reason why you shouldn't know what you should be doing at this point. Some of the saints have been saved 20, 30 years. Saints. They don't know what they should be doing. Church, they go to church every week. Don't know what they should be doing.
Monkey shine.
It's all
about feeling and experience.
It's not a vocation. You know what? It's
entertainment.
It's entertainment for them. He says, wherefore, but for, well, every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he ascended, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He's given you a recap of what the Lord did. He couldn't ascend up until he descended down. He came down here for a purpose. And when he came down to this earth, he fulfilled that purpose. He said, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? To save us, reconcile us, redeem us. That's right. Purchase us. Yeah, redeem us. And he came down and he did that. It's a verse in Isaiah says something like this. I'm going to misquote that. I'm going to read it. Isaiah, when I find it, I'll tell you. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 49. He says, now this is about Israel, but the principle is here. Shall the prey, 49:24, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Who's the prey? If the Lord came down to deliver the prey, who's that?
Israel.
It was, oh, right, right. On the broader scale. Yes. He says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? That's a question mark. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be what?
Taken away.
Taken away. And the prey of the terrible shall be
delivered.
For I will contend with him that what? Contended with thee, and I will save thy children. Now, that's you. Paul is quoting that verse. He's quoting, look, he says, he delivered you. You were captive. You do know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you didn't, just go back to chapter 2 and you can read about it. We were captive. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Even then, you thought you were calling your own shots. But you weren't.
You're going to serve somebody.
Look, Lord say that he that serveth sin is the what?
Servant of sin.
Servant of sin. Oh, I do what I want to do. I know. Sure you do. Listen, I can quit anytime I want to. I know. In bondage. But the Lord says, I come to deliver.
The captive.
That's what he said. In Luke, when he read, he says, he said, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach deliverance to the captives. And he came and he did it. And at that verse, it was, even though it was for the Jews, but we know. Paul said, guess what? He was reconciling the world to himself. He was redeeming the world.
He was raised according to my gospel.
So he said, when he came down, that plan was included you and me. And he says, when he ascended, what is it that he also descended? And now he's ascended far above what? All heavens. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
Where are the women? I mean,
why'd he? Okay, we now get sidetracked, but he says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. All that's for the spiritual life of the body, that it would function properly. He says, well, he tells you why. That for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Tips.
What do apostles give?
They're sent ones.
Sent to do what?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. What do prophets give?
They validate the doctrine.
What do evangelists do?
Proclaim the doctrine.
What do pastors do?
Preach the doctrine.
What do teachers do?
Teach the doctrine.
What's the doctrine for?
Perfection.
For the perfection of the saints, for the what?
Work of ministry.
For the what?
Edifying of the mind.
What is that? What is the purpose of you being perfected?
Knowledge.
And the work of the ministry.
Unity of the faith and the knowledge.
And edifying of the body of Christ, he says, until we are what?
Come into the unity of the faith.
And the perfect knowledge. Man.
And the knowledge of what?
Of God.
Unto a what?
Perfect man.
Unto the
measure of the fullness of Christ.
Okay, now, he says, I give you this information. I gave you those people to give you this information that you might come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, you say, what does that mean? No problem. I'm going to draw this little man here. Just for visual effects. See this here? That's stature. Inside this is the capacity that he has in here. That's his measure.
Standing.
Now, say it again, Johnny.
Standing. How you stand? Stature.
Stature is the just look at this as an empty container. Look at you and me as an empty container that we're waiting to be filled full with the knowledge of Christ. Okay? Imagine us as empty vessels, and we're waiting to be filled full with the knowledge of Christ, that Christ might be formed in us, that Christ might dwell in us. Okay. Now, some people, you know, Mike is of tall stature, me, not so much. So there's different capacities, right? Now, that's the only reason I did that, so you can see it. Stature is the capacity that it has. He says, now, I'm giving you that until you come, the evangelists, apostles, pastors, teachers, all that doctrine is given that it might affect these three things: the measure, stature, and the fullness. God's aim is this. And we talked about this. This is the whole thing to me. Is for us to be transformed to the image of his son. Excuse me. Is, you know what, Melissa? I want your complete devotion. That's what the Lord wants. He says, I want your complete devotion. I want your complete worship and service. And the only thing that will affect that is the amount of information that's working in you. The amount of the doctrine that constrains you. Stop me if I'm not clear.
So we need to take in more.
So, listen, the doctrine, I think Mike had a good point. I think this is where we have a disconnect at. We look at the doctrine as just words on the page. God looks at it.
Well, even the disciple says, where shall we go? You have the words of life.
That's what you have to look at the word of God like this. It's not the doctrine is teaching that's designed to facilitate a change in your knowledge and behavior. So the doctrine is spiritual words. It's spirit food. That word is there. Your word is spirit. Your word is truth and life. When Paul said this, that the grace of God works in me the exceeding abundantly. What do you think he's talking about? He said, I know in whom I believe. The only difference between Paul and you and I is he got his direct. The information he got was direct by revelation. You get yours by illumination. It's the same word. And he said, listen, and it'll work effectually in you, Johnny, when you believe it as the word of God. Now you reading and say, well, Brother Frank said this Sunday. No, I didn't. I read that Sunday. God said that Sunday.
So it's like where food converts to energy, to fuel, to whatever. The spiritual words convert to thinking, action. But it's not just... It transforms. That's why it says...
Right, yes. Listen, the first thing in Genesis, God says, let there be light. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. What happened? Okay. Why? Why did it show up like that?
Because the word had power.
Say it again.
Because the word had power.
Does it really? How you know that? Okay, that's all I'm saying. So when you start reading it, don't tell me that it doesn't work. You don't believe it. So that's why I gave you, Paul said, that's why he gave you apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers that gave his word. That it might make a change in you. Until you think like he wants you to think and act like he wants you to act.
The fullness of the stature.
Now, Christ said this. He said, the Lord said this. He says in John 3. Yeah. He says that about the Son, he said that God gave not the Spirit by measure unto Christ.
Right.
He started off full, fullness of the Godhead bodily. He started off full. He said, now I want you to be filled. Now, the measure. You say, you know why you're meeting here? You know what Mike said? He said, man, I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it last week. That's where the grace, you know what? Grace right there. For whatever. Maybe, you know what? The doctrine, you can only do what the doctrine works in you. He says, some of us, we're going to leave this earth half full. Half full of what?
Doctrine.
So if you're half full of doctrine, you're half full of what?
You have a half full. Your glass is half full.
And your stature is what?
Short.
And your measure is what? That's what you... Look, he says, in Romans, he said this. He that prophesies, let him prophesy according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That is, whatever's in you...
Use that.
Huh?
Use that.
Look, y'all cook, don't you? You see the recipe? It said, put in half a cup of this. You measure it off. And you pour it in. 2 cups of this. You measure it off. And you put it in. And the Lord says, you want to teach?
You talking about now?
At any point.
Yes.
He said, what's in you? You want to fill up your measure? How you do that?
Put it in.
How you put it in?
Intake.
Okay. So, he said, look, Mike, I only want you right here, so don't worry about it. Huh?
Always room for more.
He said, well, look here, look, Blake, don't worry about the rest of this. I only want you at a certain level.
Till we come to the fullness.
To the what?
To the fullness.
The fullness. He said, look, my goal is all of you. Your goal and my goal. Your goal and my goal is not the same right now. But when you read, you're going to find out that your goal should be my goal. Because, you say, how you going to find it out? Because that's why I sent them people to write it down and to help you find out that your goal should be my goal. And not only that, that it will be my goal. That your goal will be my goal. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given.
It's
profitable to fill up your measure and stature. And fullness. So wait a minute. He said, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. That's for you practically. For us practically. That the man of God and woman
may be
what?
Perfect. Furnished.
To what? It covers all that. Now, Melissa, you know what he's saying? You know what he's saying? He said, for all of us. All of us. He said, you've been delivered. You've been equipped. You can be equipped. There's no reason. You got all the equipment in front of you. Now he said, now. You know what I want you to do? I'm gonna see if y'all. We're gonna close. I'm gonna see if you got it. If my communication was effective. He says, "Nah, I need you to get to work." What is he really saying? If he said, "I need you to get to work," what is he really saying? With what we just looked at, what is he saying?
Your knowledge, the knowledge you have,
I need you to increase your what?
You need to instill the doctrine within you to give the nourishment that the Spirit needs to work effectually within you to do His good will.
Say that again 3 times.
Now, that's hey, that ain't just for me. That's the body. Now, you might say, well,
because we all are connected.
We all, look, I said that was this chapter 4. He said what? Till 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth we be no more
children
tossed to and fro by everything you hear people say. Whatever the level it's on. He go, Lord want me to be a rapper. Or whatever you just did. He said, look, you might have a scholar that's telling you something different. He said, look, I don't care what he says. When you read about me, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'll tell you what I've done. I'll tell you who you are. He says that, but that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may what?
Grow up.
Into him in what?
All things.
Now, you remember what we said about all in all things last week? Do you remember what we said about in all things last week?
No, because it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, that's right. In all things, grow up to him in all things. That's your practical, that's practical outworking of the doctrine. Grow up to him in all things. You know what? I need you to be a better husband. I need you to be a better teacher. I need you to be a better example. I need you to be a better ambassador. Grow up into him in the outworking of the doctrine that's in you. He says, I need you to. You know what he told the Corinthians? He said, grow up. He said, quit you. Quit you like men. Grow up. He said, and this I wish. Paul said, this I wish. We'll say that for last. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Who's the joint?
Us.
Us, the body. Every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The measure of every part. What does that mean? The measure of every part. The effectual working and the measure of every part.
I always viewed the joints as being the Holy Spirit. We were the members. He was ego.
Yeah, what compacts us? The thing that compacts us and keeps us together.
It's the Word of God.
Okay. It's the Word of God that works in you. It's, you know what Paul would say, something like this: love, which worketh by faith. He said, that's what compacts us. In Colossians, he said this, that charity is the bond.
Did most everybody in here grow up with a grace background? Because I grew up in Baptist.
I'm not Baptist.
In Church of Christ, and then kind of Baptist.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I don't want to get too weighed out there too far. But the doctrine is The doctrine is what stimulates the love. You know what? You know why? You know why I'm here? You know why I'm here?
Love.
Yeah. And you know why I'm loving?
Because of the doctrine.
Because of the doctrine.
And you still love us, even though we messed up your weekend.
You know what? I can say there's nothing I'd rather be doing
than teaching this.
And then helping.
Yes.
But it's just, look, the thing is this. Just like Paul said, he said, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. What gift? What do you think he gave them?
Knowledge.
Doctrine. To the end, you might be what?
Edified.
Established.
Edified.
That is. He said, that is, that I might be comforted by the mutual faith, both of you and me. This exchange. So, he said, that's why, in verse 17, that I need you to get your mind right. Don't go out thinking like the old Melissa. Don't go out thinking like the old Lawrence. Don't go out thinking like the old Sharon, like the old Karen.
That's why the enemies that he named by name were sowing bad doctrine, or sowing wrong doctrine. Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander the Coppersmith, and it was all doctrinally based. They were messing with that doctrine.
Look, that's why the whole thing is this. If our gospel be hid, is here to them that are lost, whom the God of this world. Okay, now, last thing, Corinthians. I appreciate your patience, brother. I noticed that's 1 Corinthians 16. And sister, I appreciate all of you. Verse 13. He says, 16:13, he said, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with what?
Charity.
With charity. Now, in 2 Corinthians, he said this. He says, this I wish. He says, even for the Corinthians, he said, even your perfection. Your maturity in Christ. He said, that's what I want for the Corinthians. He was like, that's what I want for you. And that's what we should all want for each other going forward.
And look what it says down in verse 15. A word that to this day, I've never noticed. It says they addicted themselves to the ministry.
To the ministry of the saints. That's right. That's what we should do. So let's stop there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent here. Lord, take these things and make them real to us. Impress them in our hearts and minds, not only for this day, but as we go forward, that we may grow up to you in all things. And we just again thank you for this time. We thank you for each member present here. We thank you for the body as a whole. Lord, strengthen us according to our needs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.